Today's episode is sponsored by Empower. It doesn't matter how much money you have, we all have money questions. Empower has the tech with a real-time dashboard and the people to help you take control of your financial future and empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Lauren.
Mike.
Do you believe in extraterrestrial intelligence?
You mean aliens. You're asking me if I believe in aliens.
I am asking you. Do you think there's intelligent life somewhere out there in the universe?
I believe there is life, whether or not life is constrained to our definition of it here on Earth. I don't think it's necessarily intelligent, right? Refer to Fermi's paradox. If we haven't seen them yet, where are they?
Well, maybe they're very far away. I don't know. But either way, there is a new television show about alien intelligence that I want to talk about this week.
Oh, Gadget Lab is a culture podcast now. Well, for what it's worth, I generally don't like sci-fi. Does that mean that I get kicked out of the Wired newsroom?
Yes, but not. We have to finish recording first, so we'll let you stay for the show, and then we'll have a chat about your sci-fi
aversion. Thank you so much.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Gadget Lab. I am Michael Calori, Wired's Director of Consumer Tech and Culture.
And I'm Lauren Good. I'm a senior writer at Wired.
We are also joined once again this week by Wired senior writer Kate Nibbs. Hi, Kate.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thanks
Friend
for joining us.
Pod.
Today, we are talking about the new science fiction series, Three Body Problem. It premieres today, March 21st, on Netflix. Now, normally we save all of our recommendations for movies and TV for the end of the show, but since this particular Netflix series touches on a lot of topics that we cover at Wired, we wanted to take a deep dive into it. Plus, Kate was really eager to talk about it, and how could we say no to Kate? The show is based on a book trilogy by the Chinese novelist Liu Cixin. Three Body Problem was adapted from the novels and brought to Netflix by the production team of David Benioff, D.B. Weiss, and Alexander Wu. And if you watch premium television, then you know those names because Benioff and Weiss created Game of Thrones, and Wu was a writer and executive producer on True Blood, my favorite show. So we're going to do our best to keep this show spoiler-free. You can watch all the episodes now because Netflix puts the whole thing out at once. So we will be talking about some plot points in Three Body Problem, but we will not be giving away the ending or anything major. So speaking of endings, we have to start at the beginning. Kate, can you please tell us why you're excited about this show and give us a bit of a overview of the show's premise?
Absolutely. I mean, I do love a sprawling sci-fi epic, so I'm definitely sort of the target audience. I've read the first book and I really, really liked it. I actually have The Dark Forest, which is the second book in this trilogy. The trilogy is called Remembrance of Earth's Past. I have it in my Amazon cart, but I want to buy it at a local bookstore, so I've been meaning to go up to my local bookstore and buy it. Anyways. I'm excited about it because I've had a Game of Thrones sized hole in my TV watching heart for years, and I feel like this might fill the void. So it's an adaptation of another beloved book franchise. This one is the first season is going to focus primarily on the first book, which is called The Three Body Problem, and it spans, you know, decades. There's a big chunk of the book that takes place in China during the Cultural Revolution and then immediately after the Cultural Revolution. And then there's a big chunk of the book that takes place more in present day. And it basically follows a bunch of different individuals who end up discovering that we are not alone in the universe. And I don't know how to say much more about it without spoiling it, but there's a lot going on. There's aliens, there's people on the ground who want the aliens to come. There's people on the ground that don't want the aliens to come. And it's rollicking and it's cerebral too. Like Lauren mentioned Fermi's paradox, and the three body problem puts forth another sort of explanation for why we don't know about aliens, which is called the dark forest theory, which is that they're here, but they're silent because they're hostile to other civilizations.
What does the title Three Body Problem mean?
So it's a reference to I think, I mean, so I'm like totally an English major, but I think it's a reference to something that people actually talk about in physics.
Wait, Kate, I
It
just have
is,
to
it
note
is.
quickly that one of the rare critiques we have gotten on this show in the Apple Podcast comments is that we're a bunch of English majors talking about tech. So,
Oh,
welcome
shit.
to the show. Also, I welcome the criticism. Yes, in fact, we are. And please leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, the
Continue.
nicest reviews. Okay, so I think the three-body problem is something that's actually discussed in physics within the world of the show. It references the something that is happening with some aliens, maybe potentially, where a planet has three suns, and the way that the planet orbits around the suns causes a lot of issues for people. And so the three-body problem is them asking, like, how do we not die because of the chaos that orbiting around three suns causes? Is that right, Mike? Did I do a good job?
Yeah, that's right. I've done a lot of Googling since I've started watching this show, and that does sound right. So yeah, it's that there is no predictable way for a planet to orbit around three suns. So it ends up in a chaotic orbit where sometimes it's stuck around one sun and sometimes it's bouncing around between two or all three. And yeah, it's almost impossible, as far as we know, to sustain life on a planet like that because the suns are all different temperatures, the orbits are different.
It's like a
And
sun thruple.
it's like a sun quadruple. So one thing that actually that you touched on that I wanted to talk about is that like the science in the show, and I assume in the books, you've read the books, you can tell us, the books were commended for how accurately they portrayed the science. Like one of the main characters is involved in research at a radio telescope. There's a lot of stuff about interstellar communication, bouncing transmissions off the sun. Some of the main characters are physics researchers at a particle accelerator in Oxford. So all of this comes across in the show, and it does feel very like science accurate. So I am curious to find out what the scientific community is going to think about the television adaptation. But from your watching of it and having read the books, is it dumbed down at all for TV?
I think that they definitely made some adaptation choices to make it appeal to a wider audience, but I don't think they're really dumbing down the science. I was actually surprised. I feel like there's been a big investment in character building in the TV show, whereas the book is fantastic, but it is really more of an exploration of all of these different ideas than a deep dive into any one character's like mental state. I've been really enjoying the expanded attention to like the human relationships in the show, which I get why they did that, because like people usually need to have their hard sci-fi anchored in like human relationships to make it work for a general audience. One other kind of surprising thing they did in the show adaptation was they took one character and made him a bunch of different characters in the show. Whereas usually I feel if there's a book adaptation, it ends up cutting characters when it gets made into a movie or TV show. So this did the opposite, which I wasn't expecting. But I like.
And Kate, you mentioned that this spans decades, right? It starts off with the Chinese Cultural Revolution in the 1960s, and then it kind of zooms to modern times, 2024. But in both eras, the scientists, they're maligned either by people in society or by these alien life forces. And spoiler alert, you find this out in the first episode, which is the only one that I've watched so far. In some instances, these scientists are even killed. During that time, Einstein was a main target of criticism too. How much of this show is rooted in actual history, and how much is historical revision?
Well, the opening scene of the TV show happens in the book too. It's like sort of stage setting, and it's very, very important for like the one of the main characters' motivations, the scientist Jie, and she sees her father, who's a really prominent physicist, killed during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And that's really not a spoiler because it happens like right away in the books too. Like it's
Sure.
fine. And that really informs her view of humanity, and what her view of humanity is ends up really affecting the plot in an interesting way. So, like, I guess all you can say to that is anti-intellectualism is no good for us. Yeah. So, anyways, This is a very long way of answering your question about historical accuracy, but yes, there are lots of scenes that seem fairly accurate to what was happening in the Cultural Revolution. And the author's family was, I believe, sent to a work camp when he was young. So it's probably rooted in some of his lived experience. But most of the stuff in modern day seems sort of not a direct corollary to anything that's going on now.
The karaoke night yeah. in the first episode looks a lot like a contemporary karaoke night. So that's a good historical representation. Yes.
Right. And the moment when the guy hits on the two women at the bar and he's like, "Hey, ladies." And one of them's like, "Hey, I run a nanoparticle company." And the other one's like, "Yeah, I'm a physicist who's studying the velocity of particles." And he's like, "Right on. See you later." That was pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we need to take a quick break and then we'll come right back with more. Empower has the tech that can help get your money questions answered. What is your net worth? Are you saving enough? Are you on track for retirement? With the free and easy to use Empower Personal Dashboard, you can see your net worth, plan out your retirement age, track spending, create budgets, and more. And if you need a technology break, get a free second opinion by having a real live conversation with one of Empower's financial professionals to get clarity on your real life financial goals. Join 18 million Americans in Empower and take control of your financial future to empower what's next. Download the free app for Apple or Android now or check out empower.com. All right, I want to talk about the VR headset on the show. Now, the VR headset on the show is very different than what VR headsets look like today. But Lauren, being our VR expert here in the room, I want you to walk us through what this thing is in the show and your thoughts about it.
Right. So as soon as I saw this, I thought, oh, it's like the Apple Vision Pro. There's a moment in the first episode when Jen, the main character, is at the home of one of her deceased colleagues. And she's talking to the colleague's mother and expressing her condolences. And then all of a sudden she looks in her deceased colleague's bedroom and she says, "What is that?" And it's a mask and she pulls it up and it's like a VR headset, but it's much more sleek looking. And she puts it on her face and she's transported into this virtual world. And what's kind of uncanny about this, I think, is the timing of it, because this part of the show takes place in 2024, but presumably it was shot and produced before 2024. And then the actual Apple Vision Pro comes out in 2024. So I was like, wow, this is really good timing. The headset in Three Body Problem is much more sleek. It's like Apple Vision Pro Generation 3 or something. It also boots up remarkably quickly when Jen puts it on. She's automatically transported into the virtual world. You're not waiting for someone to boot it up and authenticate with their eyes or saying, "Sorry, this is logged into your account. Can you log out so I can log in? Sorry, I have to measure my pupillary distance now to make sure that it works well." Like, that would really drag down the pacing of a television show. The thing that I haven't gotten to yet, although the trailer has teased this, is that I think this virtual world, this game world, is going to be a critical part of the narrative. Is that correct? Kate, tell us about this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I can talk about it broadly, that there are big chunks of the book, at least, that are spent in this virtual world. And it's definitely very important to the narrative. And it's kind of mind-blowing when you think, like, the book was written like 20 years ago, so he was really ahead of his time with the Apple Vision Pro prediction. and I have really enjoyed like the visuals that they've brought to those sections. Those are actually kind of my least favorite sections of the book, because I am I hate video games, and so I just have a general like disinterest, honestly, in most narratives that are like gaming based. But again, I got on board with this one because of the spectacle, and it's like pretty seamlessly interwoven into the plot of the show, I think. Like, yeah.
Lauren, I will say, because you find out in a later episode that it does authenticate through the eyes.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, it does a retinal scan.
So how does it work then if the mask belongs to a character who's no longer alive?
If you put on the mask and you are not invited to put on the mask, then a game character walks up and immediately kills you, cuts your head off.
No, really?
Yeah.
Wait, is that a spoiler for the show?
No, it's just one of those things that, like, I can tell you that and it's not going to spoil
it. You're serious.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that,
like,
is dark. So Tim Cook appears out of nowhere and he's like, that Apple Vision Pro is not for you.
It's like, yeah, it's like a ninja person. So it does sort of have some parallels with like an Apple briefing where like you have to be invited to the Apple briefing. And if you're not invited to play the game, because the game is invite only, mm-hmm. and they send you a headset to join.
This has very light shades of that Olivia Wilde movie that came out with Florence Pugh, and it was Harry Styles doing some acting.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, darling.
Yes, and mm-hmm. and for those of you who haven't seen that, I don't want to spoil that, but there's a strong VR element. Mm-hmm. VR, what happens in the world is actually happening in VR mm-hmm. type part of that, which was a real twist at the end. That's all I'll say about that.
But I love the design of the headset. I think it's super cool. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of those Oakley sunglasses that went over the top of your head because there's a big band that goes over the top of your head.
Yeah.
But presumably there's a bunch of sensors in it, you know, that like touch your skin and, you know, tap into your brain or something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it looks awesome. And now I think, honestly, like the designers of the show who designed the VR headset are probably going to end up being influential on like the next 5 years of VR headset design. Huh.
It looks a lot cooler than what's available on the market right now. It's one that I would consider wearing.
There's no battery pack.
Yes. I think you can cry in it.
The other thing is that nobody on the show wears glasses.
Mm.
Oh. Hmm.
It just slots right onto their head.
There are a bunch of scientists who don't wear glasses.
Yeah, there are people on the show who wear glasses, but you do not see them putting the headset on. Mm. Although I imagine that since it taps into your brain, it can probably like correct for corrective vision.
Okay, so once again, with the disclaimer that I've only seen the first episode, Kate, how well do all of these themes actually mesh together? Because we're talking about, I mean, we're nerds talking about Fermi's paradox at the top of the show, but like we're talking about physics and particle accelerators and the Chinese Cultural Revolution and virtual games and, did I say aliens already?
Mm. Quantum physics.
And then the human relationships, right? So there's like a lot going on here. Does it all come together?
I mean, I think it does. I, again, have been shocked by how much I'm enjoying it. I got up super early this morning to like squeeze another episode in because I just want to keep seeing where it's going. And I'm saying that as someone who has already read the book, so I have some knowledge, but they've made like the introduction of the five, there's five like younger scientist characters that are in the show that are all new. They're not in the book, and they are the ones that have a lot of the interpersonal relationship issues and stuff. So I'm getting invested in their characters. I don't know where it's going. And you know, all of the scientific ideas surrounding their interpersonal dramas. Yeah, I think it's really well done. I'm shocked. I'm actually like, I'm also shocked that Netflix is dropping this all at once, even though I know that's what Netflix does. I just feel like it would be a show. There are so many episodes that are ending on like jaw-dropping moments that I think this show would have perhaps benefited from like a week by week drop schedule to like build momentum and get people talking about it. I'm a little worried that it all coming out at once is going to be like detrimental to it becoming a cultural phenomenon. What do you think?
No, don't police my television watching pace. It's the days of shows coming out once a week, unless it's like a news program. The days of shows coming out once a week are a really annoying leftover from the world when we did not have everything on demand.
I like it.
I think if you're going to put out a show, just put out the whole thing. So what if I want to watch it all at once? It doesn't matter.
Some of us have deadlines to meet. Yeah. We can't go binging.
Yeah, but sometimes you just want to see what happens next.
That's
and I
true.
Agree with Kate. The cliffhangers on this show are like expertly created. Also, there are a lot of like, you know, big set piece moments, and they don't all come like at the ends of the episode. They usually come in the middle of
that.
The episode.
Yeah.
So there's like, it ramps up to a big event.
Happening all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they don't shy away from like showing you the aftermath, which I think is really important because it continues to drive the plot forward, adds a lot of emotion. So yeah, very expertly created and paced. And if you want to watch it all at once, by God, watch it all at once.
That is related to my recommendation, but I'll save it.
Okay. Well, That's actually a very good segue, because there's really not much more we can say about the show without spoiling it. So we should move on to our recommendations. But we can all recommend the show. I think we're all enjoying it. We really like it. Three Body Problem premieres on Netflix today. If you're listening to this podcast, it is available for you to stream. Also, we must say that our colleague Amit Katwala has an interview with the three showrunners of Three Body Problem that is running on Wired. Amit spoke to Alexander Wu, David Benioff, and D.B. Weiss about the show. And you can read that Q&A on Wired now. Okay, let's take a break. We'll go to recommendations. Okay, Kate, as our guest, what's your recommendation this week?
Actually, I'm going to recommend another sci-fi series that's a book adaptation. I wrote about it when it came out last year, which is Silo on Apple Plus. It's adapted from Hugh Howey's Wool book series. One of them's called Silo, which the books are great too. The show is fantastic, and I feel like it got buried in Apple TV, like Apple TV Plus. Is it Apple TV Plus or Apple TV?
Apple TV Plus.
Okay. Plus. Yeah. Apple... I just add a plus to everything now if they're charging you like $9 a month or more for it. It's just plus.
Yeah, it got kind of... Apple TV Plus has this little like collection of prestige sci-fi that, and a lot of it's really well done, and it's just not taking off like I think it deserves to. And Silo is so good, and I think people should watch that too.
Awesome. And so it came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing another season soon? Or
I don't know. There's lots of material that they could be working from. I hope they're doing another season. If they don't, though, it definitely stands alone as like a mini series. And it's about people who live in this like underground silo sometime in the future, and things are not what they appear. And it's excellent. Like, yeah, heartily recommend.
I hear that if you get an Apple Vision Pro and you put it on your face, Tim Cook appears and tells you what their next season's lineup is going to be.
You know, there's Apple products in all of the Apple TV Plus shows, mm-hmm. right? They like use their streaming channel as like a way to show off right. how good their products are.
Yeah, they're never using Signal. They're always like blue messages when they message people.
I'm sorry,
in the program.
It's very annoying. It's very annoying to imagine a world where like 3/4 of the planet is not using Android. Kate, what's the status of Apple devices in the near future on Silo?
I don't think they have any, but that's because they've been in the silo for a really long time, I think. I'm not sure about the exact timeline, but I think they went in the silo before old Tim even took the reins. They might have been down there. I don't know. They have really old school, like desktop, like 90s desktops in Silo. There's no blue bubbles to worry about.
Are they Mac clones?
I don't know.
Are they Motorola Mac clones? Oh, that'd be amazing.
I'll have to rewatch and take a look at the gadgetry.
I'll watch it. Thank you for the recommendation. Mm-hmm. Lauren, what is your recommendation?
Despite my throwing shade at you earlier for binge watching, mine is a binge watch. And there's a little story behind this that's related to Three Body Problem. So listeners should know that Netflix gave us all early access to Three Body Problem. And we had to log into our Netflix accounts and enter a PIN code because we had to be approved to get these digital screeners. And over the weekend, I went to go watch Three Body Problem and realized I didn't have the PIN code. So I emailed Netflix on a Sunday and just was like, hey, I'm really sorry, but I don't think I have this PIN code, and so I can't watch this. It took them all of 4 minutes to get back to me.
I noticed that.
But in the meantime, I put my phone down, and I turned at the TV, and I was like, well, I should probably watch something else. So I put on One Day.
And you watched the whole thing? In
seven
like 2 days?
Hours went by. I watched almost the entire thing. On Sunday.
Wow. When you should have been working.
Thank you, boss. Look, I really needed a rest day. I was exhausted. And I was like, this is going to be a couch day. I did get up and go for a walk to a coffee shop at some point, did some writing. But like, I was in it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I need to know what happens to M and Dax. I need to know. Now, I still have not watched the final episode.
Okay.
But the penultimate is, it's devastating. Mm-hmm. You have to get through that one. I loved it. I loved it. It reminded me of a lot of people are saying this reminded me of Normal People, but it's a love story.
Sure.
But it's not an overly saccharine love story. It feels very real about these two young people. And speaking of technology, it starts in the 80s and it tracks their long-term friendship throughout the 90s.
Yep.
And there's almost no technology. They're writing letters and postcards. There's a pivotal moment when one of the characters gets a mobile phone and then she's like, I finally got a mobile phone. I didn't think I was going to resist. And it's all, there are moments when they're missing each other because they're leaving messages on voicemail machines. What are they called? Answering machines.
What are they called?
I know. Yes, this is when I grew up. I loved it. I really loved it for that element of it.
So I'm pushing 50. Mm-hmm. Right now, and I grew up in the 80s, and it very much reminded me of those days. Mm-hmm. of those days when you really could not be reached and how glorious they were.
Really, really wonderful.
Yeah. Decent music in the show too.
Really good. Waterloo Sunset, the Kinks.
Also a book adaptation.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah. It was a movie,
but the movie got panned.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Saw it on a plane.
Yes. No, this is One Day. It's very sweet. It's touching. It's funny. It's sad. Mm-hmm. And I just, yeah. So thanks, Netflix.
And it's got the Essex guy from White Lotus in it.
Oh, whew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you saying he's good looking? Is that what
I mean? Yeah.
Okay.
Objectively speaking, they're both beautiful people. Sure. Both of the lead actors are, it's great.
Okay, good recommendation.
Yeah, so Mike, what's your recommendation?
I'm not recommending a show. I'm recommending a podcast. It's an old podcast, but it's new to me. It's called Transmissions, and it's by the folks at Aquarium Drunkard. You might remember Aquarium Drunkard as a music blog, which it was and still is. I think there are from the music blog era of the early 2000s, there are a few that still exist, like Brooklyn Vegan is one and Aquarium Drunkard is another. And they all have silly names because when you start a blog 20 years ago, you give it a silly name. So Aquarium Drunkard has a full, big old regular media operation now, and they do an excellent interview podcast. It's called Transmissions. And it is a lot of interviews with musicians, but also some artists, some archivists, some authors, people in popular culture. So it's a very good, kind of indie, kind of underground, popular culture interview podcast. I really like it. I came to it because this week, or the week that I found it, maybe it was last week, the interview subject is John Lurie, the guy from Painting with John and Fishing with John and The History of Bones. I've recommended,
You've recommended him before.
Yeah. All of his stuff is awesome. And he is such a fantastic interview. He's so funny and he has the best voice for audio. He should have his own show. He used to have a show, I think, on YouTube, and it only did a couple episodes, and now his show is done on HBO. So please, let's give John Lurie some love and we'll give him some work. Anyway, that's my recommendation. Aquarium Drunkard, Transmissions.
It's a great name. What does it actually mean?
Aquarium Drunkard?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a reference to a Wilco song.
Oh.
Yeah. Aquarium Drink. It's
Can you sing it for us?
I Am Trying to Break Your Heart. It's the first song on Yankee Hotel Foxtrot.
Oh, yeah. I know that song quite well. Yes. Wait, what line is it?
The very first line.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm Googling an American aquarium drinker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chicago excellence. So
Chicago excellence. The Miracle Mile. Mm-hmm.
Next episode on Gadget Lab, breaking down Wilco. Rams returns.
If I had my way.
We got to get Tweety on this show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Nels, my old buddy. Okay. Well, Kate singing seems like the best place to end the show. Go out on a high note, literally. Thank you for joining us, Kate Nibbs. I hope we change your mind about video games.
Thank you so much for having me. Feel free to auto-tune me. I give you permission to do anything you want with any sort of AI voice tools you want to experiment. No, thank you so much for letting me talk about Three Body Problem. I'm super excited that it's good. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Me too.
It's great to have you on.
And thank you all for listening. If you have feedback, you can endorse all of us on LinkedIn. Just check the show notes. Our producer is Boone Ashworth, and we will be back with another new show next week. And until then, goodbye.
Why do I always close my eyes when we do room tone?
It's a little
it's
like meditation.
It is. I'm meditating.
It's a little listening.
Also, my eyes make noise when they blink.
Do they?
No.
Let's see if you can hear mine.
Mine kind of do.
Mine do.
Oh, I don't like thinking about that.
Now that the show is over, check out Empower's app we mentioned earlier. With the free Empower dashboard, you can see your net worth, plan out your retirement age, track spending, and more. You can also connect with Empower's financial professionals and get a free second opinion to help with your money questions. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future to empower what's next. Download the free app for Apple and Android devices now or visit empower.com.